Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care. Come on.
Heading my way for another place. And I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live. Not so live, and we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are back with this camera view. We're at this camera view with no guests, sadly. Sadly, that last episode with Dave Mercer was a lot of fun. It was so much fun, and I'm still kind of, you know, reeling from that a little bit. Like I can't believe that Dave, Diamond Dave, came to Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, and hung out with me in the LBL Bar and Grill. But we are here, and this is the podcast for October the 26th. And no guests this week in-house, but we do have a very good one that we are going to talk to on the phone. And I want to start by saying thank you to all of you for watching that Mercer podcast, for talking so kindly about that in the comments. And look, unfortunately for me, I'm having like this kind of panic, you know, about being able to do more of those in-person interviews. Obviously, I'm centrally located, but it's hard to get guests here at the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill all the time. I definitely want to do more of that. It was just, it's more than an interview. It's a conversation. And I just want to thank Dave again for coming on and doing that. We announced that we will have a podcast. And we weren't playing. The first episode of LD and the MC drops this week, October 28th, this Wednesday. This will be a weekly deal. It's going to be different than Low Budget, just like we talked about. But and most of the time, it's going to be via Zoom because he and I aren't together that much, always in one place and I'm in the other. But there will be special occasions. And man, we got lots of plans. But we are so excited about that. And it's goofy. And it's fun, and it's serious all at the same time, and it's two idiots representing two different countries, and I just can't thank Dave enough for wanting to do that with me. So look out for that 2 days from now, right here on my channel, on Dave's channel. Make sure you're subscribed to both LD and the MC. So a little bit of housekeeping there. But thank y'all. That was, for me, as I was recording that, and Dave's, he's an industry veteran. He's a guy I'm a fan of. I really appreciate his friendship. We throw a lot of things back and forth, and it's really cool for a redneck from Tennessee to get to know his fishing heroes, to get to know people that are veterans like that, the Mark Zonas of the world, the Dave Mercers. I'm really proud to call them friends, and I'm fortunate to get to do that. And Zona gave us a shout out on Bass Live, which was fun. But it's really cool for me. So I hope you guys really enjoyed it. And you seem to. The views were great and the comments were great. And Dave and I are really excited about the future. But that format of having him here It was cool. I kept thinking, man, this is what I mean, when I built this, the LBO Bar and Grill, that's what I had in mind. And it just doesn't always work out, especially in 2020. You know, I built this last fall. This year's been so crazy. You can't be asking people to come to the low budget bar and grill all the time in a pandemic, you know? So hopefully more of that to come. Hopefully more of that to come. So thank y'all for that. I needed that too. This week was, I share everything with you guys, to say the least. And I had this past week, October 20th, was the 1 year anniversary of when I lost mom, when we lost my mother. And if you've kept up with this podcast for any amount of time, you know, I talk about that a lot. And right here, Mr. Brandon Polinick sent me this last year. My mother loved butterflies. And to honor her, I have that on the low budget bar and grill all the time. But we miss her dearly. And so many of you reached out to me on that day to let me know, you miss your loved ones and send in positive thoughts and prayers and comments my way. And I had just a really, really good week with that happening. It was still a very positive week. It's really cool to have great friends. My buddy Big C, y'all have seen him on here. We did the Fat Ass Challenge together, Corey. He brought me stone crabs from Florida, which if you've never had stone crabs, you're missing out. But this is the season that you get them. He had been down there. He brought them to the house. I wasn't even home. He surprised me, left them in the dang fridge for me. And just stuff like that. You know, Darian, sent me some cool videos and things. I had so many friends reach out, checking on me, close friends. And it's good. That's a good thing. So never be afraid to kind of tell people what you got going on, man. That's what this podcast is all about. Obviously telling you what's on my mind, telling you my opinions, my thoughts. And it's really got me through a lot of tough times around this deal, you know, losing mom to this horrible disease called cancer. So thank y'all. Thank y'all for that this week. I really appreciate it. And I could feel the love. And it was just, to start the week with the Mercer episode, it was really a positive thing. So I thank y'all, because otherwise it could have been a deep, dark week. I can go there pretty easy at times. And it was awesome. It was awesome. So thank you all for that. Huge thanks. And we're cooking up some things with these fine folks. But I want to say a huge thanks to the fine folks at StarTron and Starbright Cleaning Solutions for bringing you Low Budget Live for several years now. StarTron kicking ethanol in the teeth and getting it out of your weed eater, getting it out of your chainsaw, getting it out of that outboard engine, anything that runs gas, ethanol can get in there and just mess things up. Little dab will do you. This bottle right here treats 256 gallons of fuel. Put you some StarTron in there. We're coming up on that time. You ain't going to be cutting your grass as much. You may have some fuel left over in that tank. You better put you some StarTron in there. Seriously. Same thing with your boat. If you're not running your boat a lot this time of year, you got gas sitting there in it, you better drop you some StarTron. But I want to thank those guys. And they are making some LBL merch that incorporates the Shake Your StarTron bottle that we will have very soon, working on some cool things with those guys. So thanks to the folks at StarTron. Also, got to say, big thank you to Sims, the official clothing provider of Low Budget Live, Not So Live, in the traveling circus. And I am here to remind all of you, first of all, that new Pro Dry rain suit, slick, to say the least. Really, really good rain suit. Lightweight. I'm digging mine. Got to use it a couple times this week, and that was awesome. It's just not too heavy, you know? I like it. So I'm here to remind all you lowlifers, you get one life. Fish it well. Love that saying. Love that saying. And last, but certainly not least, and I'm going to keep saying this till there's one in the garage, okay? I'm going to keep saying this because I've got mine. I'm patiently waiting. The official boat of Low Budget Live, Express Aluminum Boats Performance Bass Boats out of Hot Springs, Arkansas, bringing you Low Budget Live as well. And we're going to have an X21 Pro right under the bar and grill very, very soon. So thank you to all those fine folks. Moving on. As Mercer said last week, if you like this, you're going to have to put up with a little bit of that. And we're thankful for all the sponsors, just like I'm thankful for all you listeners. Oh, while I'm on that kick, I want to say this to the YouTube crowd. Lots of you listening on different platforms, but I want to say this to the YouTube crowd. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for the damn ads on these videos. YouTube decides where they go. On that Mercer episode, I started getting comments. There were like 40 freaking ads on that hour video. I apologize. I finally figured out, and it takes, got to do it from a computer. Anyways, long story, I can delete and place those now. I found out how that works, and I can delete 90% of them. So after it had been up 24 hours, I figured that out, and I got them off there. So I apologize. Thank y'all for listening. I even had a good friend of mine, Boomer. Y'all have seen me fish Boomer's Lake on the channel. Boomer called me and goes, "Hey, man, do you know about these ads?" Because they were running out of control. So thank y'all for the heads up on that and for always letting me know. But, yeah, I wanted to say I'm sorry for that. This is free content, and this is a free platform. YouTube doesn't charge me to upload here, and unfortunately, you're going to have to put up with some of that, and I apologize that it got a little bit much last week and a couple other episodes, but I figured it out now. We should be good. Thank y'all for letting me know. All right, moving on in the world. I'm kind of I'm pumped up today about our guest, and we're going to get to that, but Bassmaster Open. I'll be honest with y'all. Full disclosure, this is the podcast for Monday, October 26th. We're recording this a little early. Bassmaster Open still going on at Neely Henry. So we don't know who our Bassmaster winner is. And last week, we got a new Elite Series champion in Lee Livesey. Going to get Lee on the show very soon. I'm going to get Big Frank the Tank Tally on here. Got a lot of guests lined up. It's fun, man. People reaching out to me. Really cool. But congrats to Lee. I've already said congrats to Frank, but congrats to Lee. That was a hell of a tournament, and that's the way a Tennessee River tournament in the fall should go down, on a frog, and that's how he did it. It was really fun to watch. And Lee is a guy, I don't know him well, very well thought of, though. You can always tell when it's the same with when Frank Talley won. When a guy wins that people have a deep mutual respect for, you see it on the social media streams, right? You see it on Instagram, Facebook, other people sharing their pictures with them, you know, and you saw that with Lee, and you saw that with Frank. Mercer said that, you know, there were so many guys that did not go home that stayed around to see if Frank won that tournament at Gunnersville. Same thing with Lee. A lot of people were very proud for Lee. And he's had kind of a rough year this year. Very cool to see. Guides on Lake Fork. So that's the next event coming up. But Lee's an interesting cat, and I'm definitely going to get him on here very soon. He's fishing that open, and he had a good first day. So looking forward to having Lee on, hopefully next week. In the next couple weeks, we'll have those guys on. So y'all know me. I know status quo. Every podcast in the freaking known universe gets the winner on immediately, and I don't roll like that. I let those other boys do their things, and then I do my thing, and then I come back around on that backside. I come around on that backside and have them on. So we'll get those boys on very soon. I got a lot of things planned, actually, but some fun guests coming up. BPT schedule. Bass Pro Tour. Major League Fishing. Extending the life of the sport. Bass Pro Tour schedule came out. Let's look at this bad boy real quick. Let me pull this up. Real fast light. I'm going to text our guest too. All right. Text our guest. Let's pull this up. Talk about this. I saw this posted up, and I want to start by saying, man, I see people complaining, like fans. Oh, it's the same places year after year after year. Oh, my God. Why? And my first initial reaction to it was, damn, that's a good schedule. because now that I'm involved in this tournament world with MPFL and things, you see, like, scheduling these tournaments, and I always knew this with FLW, and you know it with Bass, like, scheduling these tournaments is very hard. Okay, it's, and I know that Boyd say, oh, we're gonna go to different lakes and we got a smaller field and blah 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 blah, and all that's well and good on paper, right? But the problem is, you gotta these towns pay for you to host a tournament in their fine cities. Okay, that happens, and So you go to where, and it was always that way with FLW, you go to where you can get paid. You go to where maybe you know the contact there so you can go there easily. And there's a lot of that that goes into this, man. Scheduling it is so hard. And especially now, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I know a lot of people don't think that's the case, but we are. And it has affected tourism money in a lot of these communities. So these towns don't know what the next 6 months hold. They know what the last 6 months have held. So their budgets are probably knocked back. And I mean, I'm hearing this from team tournaments to the NPFL, to the Elite Series, to the Opens. Like, the fact that Major League Fishing, Big Five, MLFLW, whatever you want to call it, has Toyota schedules, an FLW schedule, and a BPT schedule is pretty damn strong. From what I'm hearing in the industry, the fact that they got that done and got that out, they got BFL stuff coming out, like, it's not a walk in the park right now. It's just not a walk in the park. And I thought the schedule was good. Let's look at it real fast. So, stage one, Rayburn, Sam Rayburn, March 21st to the 26th. That is an absolute beatdown. Cell phone coverage will suck. So the live coverage will be, you know, whatever. You never know. FLW's done a pretty good job there with live coverage. So has Bass, but like it can be shady there. Like no cell phone works at Rayburn, I found. The second one is the Heavy Hitters event, April 9th at Falls, Jordan. That's those big bass freak show lakes over in North Carolina. So they'll smash there. Lake Travis, stage two, Austin, Texas, April 30th to May 5th. I've been there. That lake has got a bazillion bass in it. Drew Benton won the Elite Series there. Around that same time of year, they were schooling. It's a cool lake. Joe Rogan lives there now. Maybe, you know, maybe Rogan watches him fish from his dock. I don't know. Stage three, and this is kind of a curve, I feel like, for everybody griping about the schedules. May 21st through the 22nd, the Harris Chain in Florida. We all know, and that's what I loved about Heavy Hitters this year. They went there in June. It was a different, you know, we always, January, February, March, we're going to Florida. Every fishing schedule ever. I like that. I think that's cool. Lake Chickamauga, June 4th through the 9th. The Chick on the Tennessee River. We'll see. Always potential for fireworks at Chick. St. Lawrence River, June 25th through the 30th. We all know what'll happen there. Massive beatdown of smallmouth. Lake Champlain in August and Lake St. Clair in September. So, yeah, it is a lot of the same. But I just don't – it's not – I don't know. I saw a ton of comments. I was just like, oh, it's the same stuff all the time. And it is. And I'll tell you, that's one thing NPFL, you know, we've talked about is – it making a different schedule, but man, it's so hard. And then you end up going to some, like a lot of the good lakes and popular lakes are good lakes and popular lakes for a reason. And you got to have facilities and you got to have places for the, you know, the tournament field to stay. And you got to, there's just a lot that goes into this stuff. So as much as I criticize, Lord, all he does is bashes MLF. That's all he does on this show. As much as I do criticize at times, I like the schedule. I like the schedule. I thought I was like, damn, that'd be a really fun schedule to fish. So kudos to them for getting it out there, you know. Pretty cool schedule, I think. You know, Elite Series still working on those from what I'm hearing. I think theirs will probably be really freaking good. Also, but you know, they haven't released Opens, they haven't released the Elites, and which with all this is just kind of a you know, pissing contest back and forth. We released our schedule, which FLW always, you know, in history released their stuff pretty quick before Bass most of the time. They always did that ICAST release. But this is that time of year, man. You start looking at these schedules and seeing kind of what's gonna shake out in your mind. But I don't know. It's the negative comments crack me up on stuff like that. I'm like, dude, there's a lot of things to piss and moan about if you don't like it. But these schedules are hard to come up with, I feel like. And that's just from personal experience there. But moving on. Text him right now. So my guest today is a guy I have known for many, many moons. And he is one of the best guys that I've ever been around. So I will start by saying he is a friend of mine. He's a guy that I think a lot of. He is sitting right now currently at over $500,000 in career earnings in a very short career with Bass. He has 10 top 10s, and several of those have been this year. He has one win. He is your current Angler of the Year leader. That's loud. With one event to go. And his name is David Mullins. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Dude, I just gave you now that me and Mercer are collabing, as the kids say, I feel like I've got to up my intro game for people that are coming on the show. So I just tried to do a Mercer impression, I think, is what just happened, buddy.
You got to get real creative.
I want to start by saying go Vols, and I'm sad to be a Vol fan right now currently. And this will upload on Monday, but I told everybody I'm recording it a little bit early, and so we haven't seen the slaughter that is the Alabama game yet.
The thing about the Vols is it's been that way for years. You can't bet for them or against them. Like, you wouldn't be surprised if they come out and beat Alabama, but then we couldn't beat Vanderbilt, you know?
That is very true. I don't know, man. You kind of get excited. We of course, it was just, it's Missouri and South Carolina, but SEC games, Missouri beats LSU. Like, there's a lot of things you're looking at. You're like, you know what? We're going to be all right this year. And then you go to Georgia and you're like, oh boy, never mind. Hang on. We're not where we thought we were. And then that game against Kentucky, you're like, oh, never mind. Yeah, we're right where we were.
What's bad is I'm fishing Chickamauga at the time, and I'm like, I need to remind myself to turn my radio on at 12 so I can listen to the ball game.
During day three or day two?
During day three. Like, I was gonna listen to the ball game, and like, it's such a grind out there. I forgot all about it. I was concentrating on fishing, and I go to the ramp, and one of the kids that I coached high school basketball for actually is in Chattanooga now. He came to the weigh-in, and he had a Kentucky shirt on. I'm like, hey man, what was the score? And he's like, 37-7. I was like, man, I thought Kentucky keep it a little closer than that. And he's like, no, Kentucky won. And I was like,
he said, what? Did you stutter?
But was I really surprised? No. I mean, we've been used to this for so many years now that it's just, we'd live a lot longer if we wasn't Vols fans.
Now, the interesting thing about you was sports, and we got to talk about sports because that's just this time of year, but you are a basketball nut. And you just said that you're a basketball coach. You do that a lot. But you are not a Tennessee Vols basketball fan.
I've been a Duke basketball fan since I could walk, and I don't know why. I remember watching when I was 8 or 10 years old playing like Indiana in a restaurant one time. And my brother liked him, and I've just always been a Duke fan.
And you're East Tennessee as they come, man. You live on Rocky Top, by God. But you are a Duke basketball fan.
I do watch the Vols more. I mean, Fulkerson, I had him in high school
player. Kidding. Okay.
I had his brother as a player too, so I follow the Vols.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't realize that.
I mean, it's good. It's good that we have some good basketball again. We had it since Pearl left, and it was fun watching it. It's fun watching it again now. But
they're fun. They're a lot of fun to watch. I think this year is going to be a good time if I get to play any games. We'll see.
I think we are. I think we'll be playing.
I know in Tennessee, in Middle Tennessee, anyways, we're going to play some high school basketball and some middle school. My boys are both. I've got one son on the middle school, two sons on the middle school team, and then my 16-year-old plays for the high school, plays for varsity there. And we've already had some games get rescheduled that we're supposed to start in a couple weeks. It's definitely – it's going to be interesting. It's like this football stuff you're seeing. You got, reschedules and all that stuff, kind of like the fishing schedule. But I think that we'll get them in. We'll definitely get them in, and everybody will mask up in them gyms, and we'll see. So you said something that – kind of it might blow the minds of a lot of people that are listening that might not know David Mullins like they should. But you said during the Elite Series on Chickamauga, as you were competing, you were going to listen to the Vols game, but you forgot. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand who you're talking to here in case you're not paying attention. This is your current Angler of the Year leader with one event to go, and he was going to listen to the Tennessee Vols. If anything sums up David Mullins to me, it's that you're pretty daggum laid back and roll with the punches. I think that describes it pretty freaking well right there.
I was so excited to have my third keeper at noon. I forgot all about the ball. I'm not kidding. We've been blasted off till 10. I've got three keepers by 12 o'clock and couldn't catch another one the rest of the day.
Oh, gosh. So that one was just truly, I mean, I watched it, but being in it, I know you can attest it's just brutal, just typical fall, except a lot worse.
It was. I'm surprised. Yeah, the thing that hurt us there was the water came up a foot, maybe over a foot when we started, and I think that helped scatter them out even farther than what they were, and it was steadily coming down. It probably getting, you know, it'd probably get better, but you know, it got back hot. It was cool. It was, everything was cooling down. The water came a foot. It got back up in the 80s, and that just spells bad fall fishing, especially when the water's that clear, you know. And it just
it was
a grind. Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, and I told Mercer we need to fine people for saying that, but I think that's the first tournament in history that I think it was allowed there in Gunnersville. But it was definitely allowed at Chick. I mean, because that is. It's what people – earlier in the year when that tournament got moved to the fall, I think I had John Cox on here and we were talking. There were a lot of comments that said, oh, it'll take 25 pounds a day. You know, people that just think Chickamauga. But in the fall, it's always tough. But I think you couple that with 2020, a lot of people been off work, and a lot of people in our lovely state like to bass fish.
They love the outdoors.
So, yeah, they do.
We're blessed to be in a great state for the outdoors, but – but yes, it definitely, that place gets a lot of pressure, and it's amazing it pumps out as many fish as it does. But one thing that does help it is it does have grass.
And yes, it does.
That's probably the saving grace of the whole lake.
Yeah, as long as they leave that alone, I think we'll be okay for years to come. And I think, you know, Watts Bar, some of those other lakes over there are going to start coming on. I fished Nickajack some this summer. That's a good time, too. That lake's a lot of fun to fish.
Nickajack was one of my funnest places I fished in several years. I got to structure fish it twice. I got the time we had bass fish on Chickamauga, and I didn't make the cut. I got to go over there and structure fish it, and it was a blast over there. It's just got a ton of fish in it.
Oh, it does, man. Darian and I went down there and did a deal and grass fished. And, dude, it was just like the sheer numbers of fish blew my mind. I mean, it's got them, man. But I read a thing on the sign. They stock F1 hybrids for the last 5 years, something along the lines of like 50 to 75,000 bass a year in that place.
Wow.
And that's just a testament to the state of Tennessee and TWRA. I mean, they're doing that in Chick. They're doing that in Watts Bar. They're going to have to start doing it in freaking Pickwick. And I wish Alabama would do it in Gunnersville for sure. Or we're gonna take some hits on these lakes because of fishing pressure. But, well, dude, I got to say, so known you forever, and you are one of the – I mean, I consider you old school. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. You are very much – I feel like you're old-fashioned, even though you're really good at, like, video editing and stuff like that, but you're not a big social – you don't really care about social media stuff as much. You are very much that old school. You love structure fishing, like you're saying, ledge fishing, that kind of stuff. But I feel like – and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously you're the guy doing this, but do you feel like your versatility has grown – in the last couple of years, as far as like your skill set on the Elite Series, and that has led to this Angler of the Year lead that you have because your finishes are getting better and better and better. Is it that, or is it just time out there and seeing these lakes? What do you think is the difference maker for a young guy listening that took David Mullins from his first year on the Elites to now having the opportunity of a lifetime?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of everything, but, being more comfortable now. I mean, you got to look. The only lakes I fished before I made the league series was Cherokee and Douglas, and we don't have grass. We don't have massive amount of flats and stuff. So the biggest change for me was, if you look back, I think when I joined the elites, I did fairly well on lakes, and then I would go up north and completely lose it every year. And
okay.
Smallmouth was just a big pain for me. And this year, the biggest change was probably getting through those smallmouth lakes a lot better. And I've learned, how to catch them. I'm not still greatly confident up there, but I've learned how to catch them better up there. And when I had that good northern swing, that helped out a lot. But before I started elite series, I didn't even own a chatterbait. Didn't even know what a chatterbait was my first year on the elite
series. That's crazy.
I mean, I didn't have a lot of extra tools or extra, tricks to play with. And it's definitely got the more lakes you visit and the more experience you get on these places, and you learn little this and that, the more you can take it with you the next place you go. And that's just helped me throughout the years.
Do you think it's a misconception about how good those smallmouth lakes are up there? Because everybody catches them. That's the thing. Everybody does catch them, but there's a difference in that tournament caliber stringer and 12 or 13 pounds that everybody catches. Do you think it's a misconception?
Of how good the fishing
is? Yeah, of how actually good it is. I mean, because it looks like everybody smashes 20 pounds. That's just not the case.
No, it's not the case. The thing about it is, a half a pound up there can separate you five places.
Absolutely.
And it comes down to one bite. And I figured out on like the St. Lawrence the last few years how I can usually, and I've caught them better the last few times I've been up there. Last year, not as much, but let's say two out of the last three, I figured out how to get a couple extra bigger bites, and that's helped me move up a lot. But yeah, I mean, some places you go, depending on the time you go there. Like I've been to St. Clair when you catch 80 a day, and then I went there this year, and you only catch about 10 a day.
But yeah,
they're all good ones. So they can be good at times, they can be great at times, but a lot of it goes back to just, you're looking for, 7-8 bites a day, and hopefully they're good sized fish.
No doubt. No doubt about that. In those places they're phenomenal, but it's, I don't mean any insult to those places, but it is, it's kind of like Florida, I guess. People are like, oh, you're going to Okeechobee, land of giants. And it's like, not so much all the time. You get those perfect.
Second day of practice, you've only caught two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So some of these famed places, because a lot of guys that you hear Zona talk about on Live a lot, those northern lakes do throw guys for a loop. I mean, even veteran guys that have been doing this for 20 years, sometimes those lakes are their Achilles heels. It's like, just because, I don't want to say they're anybody's ball game, but if you do get on that right school up there, I mean, we saw it with you. You had at Champlain, and I texted you the night before day four, and I mean, dude, your deal was getting stronger, I felt like, watching live, and that last day to watch you lose those fish, man, not to pour salt in your wounds, but to watch that, it was brutal, man, because it turned into your tournament really to lose, I felt like. Did you feel that, though? Like, in that moment when you lost those fish, did you think, there goes the tournament? Or, you knew that was it.
I knew it instantly because, dude, and one thing I had going there was I saw that weather coming in, and I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm throwing. I've got two different deals going. I've got this deep deal that worked the third day really good, and if that don't work, I think they're going to bite those moving baits the fourth day. And I'm not blasting off. I said, you know what? I think I'm going to win this today.
Wow.
And up there, the separation was 3.5 to 4 pounders. Mm-hmm. So if you caught 3 pounders, you were in, you're in 40th place. If you caught 3.5s, you're in, 20th place. If you caught 4 pounders, you're in first or second.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I was there, I should have had 20 pounds. That's how many fish I lost. But anyway, going into that last day, like I said, 4 pounders are hard to come by. And the first one I hook and lose, I don't even know if they got this one on camera. It's like a 5. It's the biggest fish I hook all week. God. And I know there's not that many fish up there that big.
No, that's a unicorn.
Yeah. So I lose that one, which crushed me. I mean, I'm like, well, you know, I still got plenty of time. I can catch some 4s. That's what's going on in the back of my mind. And there was one or two that wasn't even on camera that they didn't get. And I ran to the next spot, and it's a little underwater rock pile, and I sling my crankbait out there, and I hook a 4. And it jumps way out there, jumps off. And I'm like, you got to kid me. And the deal breaker was the last one. I hook another 5, which is the second biggest fish other than the one I just hooked 30 minutes earlier. And I hook it and fight it all the way back to the boat. It's a giant. And, you know, it just comes off for no reason. Not doesn't jump off, just pulls off. And right then I knew, I mean, you can't make up 5-pound bites on Champlain. And I mean, I knew exactly I lost it. And there wasn't no way I could win it. Mm. And, you know, it was just one of them deals, you know, you're happy that you're getting closer to winning one, but, you know, you're crushed that you had the opportunity to do it because you don't get many opportunities.
No, it is. That's something you hear a lot of folks talk about. And, you know, having fished FLW for a little bit and all that, I mean, dude, you just don't get a lot of chances. And, like, I mean, I never got as close, Lord knows, as you have. But even when you left those special practices, you know, and you felt like you had a chance – the conversion rate of getting those kind of fish in the boat, you know, we had one at Lanier one time, and I'll never forget. I mean, I called my wife and I said, you know, I mean, I think I got a chance this week. Like, I think I got a chance. And the first day, lost fish, didn't get them in the boat, and I'm like 100 and whatever. And then I catch 17 pounds of spots the second day and jump up like 60 places and get a check. But it's the different, like, that's the quality you're on, the caliber. And it's like there's such a fine line between, and people don't, because, you know, people that just look at a standing sheet and they see a guy finish 75th or whatever, and they're like, oh, sucked. He sucked this week. But the deeper story behind all those kind of finishes, you might have sucked. You might not have found them, but
you're close.
You were probably close. I mean, all of you guys are around the right deal most of the time. You do get those weeks you're lost, but I mean that this group of anglers, and that, it's the same on BPT, same in the FLW Pro Circuit. Like, everybody finds everything, I feel like, and it's the guy that fine tunes it or finds something just a little bit different within those areas. I mean, look at Lee. How many guys were throwing a frog at Chick? I mean, a lot of them. How many people throw a frog over there every day?
A lot of locals
throwing frogs. Yes. while y'all are fishing, they're throwing them over your dang lines. So what, real quick on that, was there a big tournament going on while you guys were there? I never got to scoop on that.
No, everybody were practicing because they had an Angler's Choice Regional Championship that was going on there like 3 days afterwards. And there's
there was practice.
There was that going on. I think there was a CBA going on. There was a 200 boat kayak tournament going on all at the same time. And, you know, it was difficult at times because, you know, for me, listen, if I wasn't fishing Elite Series and a guy was fishing Elite Series or FLW or whatever, I would have the utmost respect. If I seen a guy, I wouldn't even throw near him. I would probably just
throw myself
and watch, you know, and I've got a guy, and this is the way I am, and I don't want to be mean to anybody. I try to be respectful to everybody, but I've got a guy, I'm going down a grass line. He comes around the corner. He's on the inside grass line. This grass line makes a turn toward him where it gets real thin, and I'm sitting there throwing a frog. This is on the first day. And I'm working my way to him, and he works his way out of the inside, coming to the outside. And, dude, he's throwing a buzz bait within 10 yards of me, all around me. And, you know, I don't know how to take this because I am so furious right now. That I'm like, you know, I want to bless this guy out. Same way I'm like, that ain't the Christian thing to do. You need to just calm down.
That's right. Calm down. Breathe.
So I've got both things on my shoulder right now. And he looks at me. He goes, are you catching them? And I'm like, I look at him, you know, and I'm trying to let him know, you know, I'm kind of aggravated.
Like, I'm a little perturbed right now, buddy.
If you catch a 4-pounder in front of me, Christian is starting to press down and devil is starting to come up. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, it's coming out. But luckily, he didn't get a big bite. But I'm thinking, you know, if you catch a 4-pounder 10 yards from a boat, I'm getting ready to catch. that's going to cost me a lot of money. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
So after he asked me, are you catching him? I said, you know, you must be having a big tournament today. And he looks at me and he's like, no, just out here fishing. And I make a cast and he said, are you catching him? And dude, I just look at him dead in the eye and just go right back to fishing. Didn't say a word. I'm thinking, how do you not, if you're a fan of this sport or you're a tournament bass fisherman, how do you not realize what you're doing right now? You know what I'm saying?
And that's,
but, you know, that's the only way I can handle it, because I didn't want to get into it with the guy, and I just, you know, I just kind of let it go, but I just didn't say anything. I just, you know, went on about business. This, that being said, that particular grass mat, there was another one right below that, and it, and when things are rolling your way, you know, they're rolling your way, and I've heard that 100 times. I'm like, whatever. So there's a grass mat right below that, and I left this guy. I go down here, and I'm just looking. I haven't fished any of this grass, but it's the first day. I've got 5 at 3 o'clock. I'm running, just looking grass, trying to catch a big one, you know. And I turn this corner, a little isolated grass mat tucked in behind this little aisle, and I'm like, I'm just going to fish it. And I fish it, and all of a sudden, here pops like a 3 or 4 pounder chasing a bream in this mat. I never can get it to bite, and I'm like, daggone. So I run out of time. I have to run back to the boat ramp. So the next day, I've got 5 in the box by like 1 o'clock. Run 20 miles all the way down there to this one grass mat and catch that same fish on like the 3rd catch.
No way.
And that's when it's rolling your way. It's rolling your way. And that thing weighs, it wasn't that big. It was like 3 1/4, but it helped me out. It gave me about 12 pounds. So it helped me out a lot.
Jeez, man.
When it's rolling your way, rolling your way.
Our sport's the only sport played on public ground, basically, and that's talked about all the time, and we've all had those incidents. But I don't mean this to sound the way it'll sound, but I truly think some people are genuinely ignorant, and I think when it comes to that kind of stuff, and there'll be a lot of comments about this, I'm sure, but it's, I see them just when I'm fun fishing. Etiquette in bass fishing and on the water slides further and further away all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it does, but I do think that we've got a lot of new people in the sport because of guys like you and your promotion and you fishing tournaments and the live coverage and stuff that I do and stuff that a lot of people do, the YouTube stuff, all that has grown the overall participation in the sport, I feel like, is as much as it's ever been. And I truly think there are some people they just don't know.
Right.
They just don't know. They weren't taught like you were taught and I was taught. My dad, if there was a guy fishing in a pocket, like a slough on Wilson Lake, and he was at the back of it, my dad wouldn't even stop at the mouth of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you just go on. I mean, that's, you know, and you go back to, like, I know you and I had a lot of conversations about this, like that Randy Haynes, Jason Lambert thing a few years ago. Like, that stuff used to not happen that much.
No, it didn't.
It just didn't. And now it's like, you're supposed to be okay with it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and like I said, I'm old school, and I'm like, you know what, if I'm in that position, even if I knew those fish were there and Van Dam was leading, would I race Van Dam to that hole and try to beat him there and try to catch him? And I'm like, I don't think I could do that. That's just the way I am.
That's right.
I don't know the situation. I don't know what happened.
I know.
If I knew he was fishing there, I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. But again, I don't know the situation.
Right. Well, that's
I don't like fishing around people, you know.
No, I don't. I never have. I don't like it at all. And you have to more and more over time now. But it's obvious that worked out in your favor that you left and went and found you a grass bed. And you didn't cuss anybody out. And I think that's good, Dave. I think that's good, because here's the thing: when you're David Mullins and you finish 35th on the point standings, you know, you might cuss that guy out, not, you know, get in much trouble. But you're David Mullins Angler of the Year and you cuss that guy out, he's going to see you on ESPN.
Well, I did get baptized in June, so my cursing days are
over. Okay, good. That's awesome.
So I've been doing a lot better.
Well, good. I'm proud to hear it. And I'm proud to hear that you, at least it would be a heavy tongue lashing, expletive free. I like it because I have to say for myself, I have a foul mouth, and I definitely have been known to sling some expletives out there on the water at some folks over. I just get so confused. My dad's line when I was a kid was, "Hey, we ain't in your way, are we?"
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah,
I've used that one before.
There's a There's one I'm going to tell on a buddy of ours, and I will not say his name, but this is my favorite story of a local coming in on somebody. And we were at Kentucky Lake and FLW, and I'd made the top 20 cut there. And this is one of the greatest names in the history of bass fishing, but I won't take it any further than that. Good guy, great guy. And somebody came in on him on day three, and a buddy of mine was fishing as his co-angler and said that this particular pro looked at this guy and said, "Hey, buddy," this guy came in and started throwing over his line. He said, "You caught any fish today?" And he said, "No, sir, we haven't caught anything." And he said, "Well, you're going to feel like an idiot when you go home and tell your wife you got your butt kicked and you didn't catch any fish." And you can only guess who that was. But that was one of my favorite ones. You're going to feel stupid when you get home and you tell her that. All right, I got to get serious with you, man. You're getting your life right. You changing your life. Things are going David Mullen's way. What does it mean? And I know this is an obvious question. This is an easy one. But what does it mean for you if at the end of Lake Fork you get to hoist that Angler of the Year trophy?
Dude, to be honest with you, I don't even know. It's just, and I'm sure you'd be in the same situation. It's like you never would think yourself could do that, or you'd have the opportunity to do that. I don't even know if I've dreamed something like that. You know what I'm saying? I do realize I have an opportunity to do something special and win one of the most coveted prizes we have in bass fishing today. But dude, I don't know. I have no clue. I just realize I have the opportunity, but other than that, I have no clue about the feelings or anything else. I'm just going fishing, and I'm surprisingly really calm about it. I haven't thought about it too much. But again, I recognize the opportunity is there.
It is. And is this something that two events ago when you were in third, do you even look at that kind of stuff? Is that something when you're having this year, you're safely in the Classic, which is a huge deal and something that's hard to get to, as you well know. I mean, is it something that did you look at it? You know, after Santee, are you looking at it? After Gunnersville, are you looking at it and going, "Dang, man!" I mean, if this, because Clark looked like he was kind of running away with it, and then
no, I honestly didn't look at it at all because I'm like, "All right, Clark's leading; he's going to win this thing because he's such a good fisherman.
No doubt,
he's so talented, and that just goes to show you fall fishing can change everything." And you know, you look at there's five or six people can win the thing at Fork.
Without a doubt.
Well, the only thing I've got is a small lead, and whoever catches them best down there is going to win the
thing.
That's
right. So
it's a horse race, and, you know, I hope to come out on top of it, and I'm going to do the best I can, and that's all, at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for. But, you know, I've talked to Walker's called me about it, even before this, even before the Angler Year lead, all this stuff, and we were talking about making a Classic, and or winning. He was talking about losing the Classic one time, and he said, "You know, your year, and this is what, like, we talk about people fishing out there while you're fishing a tournament. Your year can come down to one bite."
Yes.
And I didn't realize that when he was talking about it, but I'm like, yeah, he's right about some stuff. But dude, I can name one fish that you follow, the worst finish I had this year, and I can't remember. I finished 40 something down there, and I'm out there struggling. And I've got a waypoint on a brush pile that's up there in like 6 foot. And it's like 1 o'clock. I've got three in a live well. My roommate's running by, and Drew lives down there.
Yep.
And he always said, "What you got?" And I said, "Dude, I've got three." And he's already got like 20 pounds. the deal was there, the water, I'd found fish out on ledges, but the water kept coming up and they left the ledges and they're all in the brush now. And I didn't really cue in on that. So anyway, he called and said, "Dude, they're in the brush." And he said, I'm going to give you a couple dots. Go catch you a limit real quick." And I thought, okay, that's cool. So he gives me a dot beside this dot that I've got that's up there in like 6 foot and gives me another one. So I go to the first one he gives me and I catch like two keepers, got a limit. I said, "Okay." I go to the other dot he gives me, and I catch like a 3-pounder. I'm like, "All right, yeah, we got a good bag. You know, we're getting there." And, dude, I'm like, "Well, I got this one dot that I found right beside this one." So I just troll the motor over there to it. And, dude, like the second cast, I hook a 6-something.
Oh, no.
And I find it's on a worm. So, you know, it ain't coming off.
Yeah, he's pegged.
Yeah, so I find him and find him. I find him around the boat, getting by his control motor, and I'm getting ready to go down there and handline him. And dude, it just comes off. It just comes off. And I told Drew about it, and I didn't make the cut. And Drew caught that same fish, same brush pile, same hook mark. I was like, it's hooked right in the top left corner, but same hook mark, everything weighed like 6'3", he said. And that one fish gives me like 20 more points, you know what I'm saying?
Golly.
It can all come down to your season being made, either making classic, winning angler year, winning this tournament, that tournament on one bite.
A single bite.
Yeah, I didn't realize that till Walker really, really explained that to me. And he said it's happened to him so many times, but he's correct. He's right about it.
That is so crazy to think about. And I mean, and it is that way looking back on my tournament career. I mean, it always comes down. And look, that bite, I'll take it further than this. That bite could come in practice.
Yeah,
to clue exactly. You in on something. I mean, it can be not going another 50 yards in a creek, and then you come around it, and holy crap, that's where John Cox is winning. You know, you're like, are you kidding me? I pulled the trolling motor up, you know, and left. And that kind of stuff happens. So it definitely comes down to one bite, man. Well, I hope that at Fork, dude, that you get no disrespect to anybody else. I'm a Tennessee guy. I got to see my man Mullins hoist this trophy. Austin Felix is fishing out of his dang mind right now. He's catching them. And like you said, Clark's caught them all year. You're going to Texas, which is kind of his home turf, and there's several guys right there knotted up. Corey Johnson's had a great year. There's lots of guys that – and it will come down to who has the best tournament down there. And that – dude, that's how it should be. I love it when it's not a blowout. I know you would probably a lot rather be leading it by about 60 points. But
absolutely.
But from a fan standpoint, man, that one down there is going to be something else, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't been that tight in a long time. Mm-mm. In the backside of my mind, maybe there's 5,000 COVID cases hit around Fork. We don't have to go. They cancel it.
Congratulations.
Yeah. But no, it's going to be a shootout. Like I said, they're just whoever figures them out best going to be angrier, and that's the way it should be, and that's who's going to deserve it.
Ain't no doubt about it, buddy. Well, look, man, I've kept you for a long time. I want to say one interesting thing about this is when you and I were trying to schedule this, you had Bassmaster Radio. Are you getting a lot of phone calls right now, Dave?
Yeah, the most phone calls ever got. People are asking me, you know, what am I fishing? Do you fish the Elite Series? What's your name again? You know, stuff like that. And we have to explain, you know, who I am and that I actually do fish for a living. And after we get through that process, then the questions start. So,
has anybody asked you your favorite Andy Griffith episode yet?
No, not yet, but it would probably be the Haunted House one with Barney, Andy, and the drunk Otis on there. That's one of my favorites.
Okay, there it is. You heard it here, and it's Halloween, so it's perfect. Right there from David Mullins. Buddy, I appreciate you very much, and I'm pulling for you. I wish you the best of luck down there, and thanks for doing this. Make sure you're following David if you're not. David Mullins Fishing on Instagram, Facebook. He's probably even got a TikTok. They ain't no telling what Mullins has got. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
Hey, love, man. God bless. Take care.
Thank you, bud. Same. All right. There it is. David Mullins. David Mullins. That was fun. David is, man, he's cooler than the other side of the pillow. And like I said, no disrespect, man. You got freaking Austin Felix is crushing, especially in these last few tournaments. And Clark Winlett's crushed all year. He had a bad one at Chick. Corey Johnson's crushed all year. Had a bad one at Chick. And it's going to be – Fork's going to be crazy. And I have no idea really what to expect with that event at all. I've never seen a lot of fall tournaments there. It's full of big ones. I would expect it'll be a little tougher, obviously, than it would be in the spring when that big wave of fish is moving up. So, exciting stuff right there. Exciting stuff. I'm proud for that dude. He's a hard worker. He keeps to himself for the most part. And I think it's going to come down to who catches the best at Fork. And like he said, it's been a while since we've had that in an Angler of the Year. I mean, you look at, you know, BPT, Jordan Lee runs off with it. You look at FLW, like Ron Nelson runs off with, like, there's really no question coming into that last event. And I like the drama. That one's going to be, I think he's got like an 8-point lead or something over Austin. So super, super tight event coming up in a couple weeks. And Mercer will, you know, be there calling without me. Now he and I are like teammates. He's going to be there giant boom shakalakin without me. So, whatever, man. He's already big leaguing me. JK. Love you, Mercer. All right, guys. Thank y'all. That was a lot of fun with Dave. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Lots of things coming. I know I say that all the time. Got some big announcements coming. Lots of things. Be sure to watch LD and the MC on Wednesday. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. And make sure to always hug your dang mama. I'm going to take y'all out with a little song that I wrote called Biloxi Blues. We end every show with it and start every show with it right here on Low Budget Live, Not So Live. I will see y'all next time.
Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a